Turn to 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 19. Before we begin reading, I want to say, as always, want to give opportunity every time that we're here. If there's someone here that would be lost and God's been dealing with you, he's let you know that you're lost. I would like to see you saved, and everyone here would, but God especially would like to see you saved this morning. If you know that you're a sinner, I plead with you to trust Christ today before we leave. If you just believe the record that God gave of his son, what Jesus did for you dying on the cross, he will save you today if you call upon his name and ask him to save you. And I plead with you to do that today. Let's start in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a house there are not only vessels of gold, of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And today, that's what we want to talk about, is at the end of the last verse that we just read, and meet for the master's use. That means a person who's able to be used, a person who God's able to take and use. And also the second part we want to look at, and prepared unto every good work. Now, there's a work that God has been preparing us for. Certainly, we've been talking about this every Wednesday night. I mean, just for a lot, I've lost track of how long, just for a long time. And I believe every person here that comes to church here that's been here going for a while, I think there's no doubt whether or not that we know that God wants to use us, that we have a purpose, that God wants to take and use us for his glory. He wants to use us to grow this church, to see other people saved. When I say grow, I don't just mean in number. I mean spiritually, abounding in all the works that God would have for us to do individually and as a body. But, you know, he talks about this thing here. He says that we need to be prepared for that. And certainly there's a work that's coming up this week, and that's revival. And that's what we want to preach about today. We want to talk about getting prepared for revival, because we have a huge part in this. This is a teamwork deal. We can't just depend on Brother Darren to get it all done. We can't depend on one individual person to get it done. It's a teamwork deal that we're going to be doing over the next week. So we want to talk about how we can do this. Let's look back at verse 20. He says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. What I want you to notice there is he only gives two choices. There isn't three, there isn't four, there's two choices. There's a vessel of honor, and this is, again, just something that the master can use, because we all know that no good thing lieth in us. You know, God has to fill us up with his goodness and be able to use us, and we're a vessel, no doubt, carrying about the works of God, going forth as a vessel to carry about the works of God. And he says there's some to honor and there's some to dishonor, and there's only two. And what this is alluding to, or what it goes back to, is talking about the vessels that were used in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, also in the temple. And that's kind of a picture of what it is. And we have to ask ourselves today before we go forward, what kind of vessel are we right now? And what kind of vessel do we want to be for revival? Because there's only two of these vessels. Let's go to Exodus 40, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read through the Old Testament to try to kind of get an understanding of this. And, you know, let me say this. I praise God, church, that we don't have to go into anything naked or blind, that we don't have to go forth into any work that God gives us thinking, you know, just hoping for the best. I just hope, you know, I really just hope revival is going to work out good and I'm just going to sit back and do it. I praise God that in anything that he's given us, in all the things that he sends forth, each one of us to do individually and as a body, that he gives us very clear instructions for success. You know, this is a big deal, that we don't have to wonder about how to have a good revival today. Today, what we're going to do, and I believe God led me through this study and just to really get a grasp on this, and I think that today we're going to just go through and define how we can have a good revival. And the fact of the matter is, if we go through and we do the things that are here and that are set forth before us, God promises us that we will have success, but if we just follow his instructions. So this is very important that we pay attention today. Let's look at Exodus 40, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with a veil. And thou shalt bring the table, and listen to this, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick and the light, and light the lamps thereof. And I know as we read through this, you might say to yourself, you know, we're just reading the Old Testament. But what I want to do before we even begin to talk about the things that we can individually do is just set this up to make you understand the wording in the New Testament all alludes back to the Old Testament. We can read the Old Testament to get a picture of how we're supposed to operate. So here he says he set all these things in order. Now, one thing I want you to know about God, and this is contrary to what a lot of people teach and think today, one thing I truly believe about God, and it's contrary to my nature, because you can ask my wife, I'm one of the most just disorganized people that there is. And Sister Jackie will probably back her up on that. I'm just completely disorganized. I don't have, you know, I'm not really good at structuring things the way they should be structured around the house. My car is usually messy if my wife doesn't get to it. And I'm not a very organized person. It's against my nature. But one thing I can say about God is that he is completely organized. Everything that he does is set up in such a way that it's just perfectly done. We can look at the universe and look at the world around us and see that. I mean, we talked about this many times in church. We know that if just one little thing was out of order, everything could go awry. And this is so contrary to what the scientists tell us, that everything just came by chance. Listen, there's nothing that was done by God by chance. You look at the story of creation and you just see how he set everything in order. Everything was in its place. And he is about perfect order, and he's about doing things a special way. And this is contrary, again, to what everybody says. You know, if you just have love in your heart, or if you just go forward with the right attitude, everything's going to be okay. But I just don't believe that's true scripturally. And again, this is against my nature. My nature would be to be like, look, if we just have the right attitude, you know, I think we can cover a lot with zeal, right? You know, I'm like, if we can just get excited about it, everything's going to be okay. But as I read through the scriptures, I just know that that isn't true this morning. That God has an order. He's very organized. He's very set up. Let's continue to read in verse 5. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of burnt offerings, having the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hanging at the court gate. You notice what he's talking about now. He just continues to talk about setting up, just continues to talk about having things prepared. Before we get there, before it starts, we need to have everything prepared. And we're going to discuss this more as we go. Exodus 40, verse 9, and thou shalt take the anointing oil. Now, what's very important that I want us to understand is the way that things were done in the Old Testament and the way that things are done in the New Testament is we're both the priest and the vessels now, so to speak, as we look at the New Testament. So let's continue to read this. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein. And thou shalt hallow it, which is to make it holy, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of burnt offering and his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver of his foot and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. And this is a phrase that I want us to get before we go forward, and wash them with water to make them clean. He's sanctifying everything. He's making everything holy. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, and that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. And certainly it's the same with us today. And even though we don't do all these exact same things, they're a figure for what God wants us to do spiritually, and we're going to prove that. And the phrase that I really want to give you today, as silly as that it may seem, that everything with God and the way that we are going to conduct ourselves this week, or the way that God would have us to conduct ourselves, is not just all willy-nilly. And I don't say this to say that, you know, it's not going to be a good time, because I don't know if there's anybody here more excited. I'll challenge you to say that I'm the most excited about revival this week. I'm just as excited as I can be. Sister Penny's graciously offered her house for us to stay in. I'm going to get to be in the community. You know, really excited to hear Brother Darren preach. I went and stalked him on the internet and found some of his sermons online. I'm just really, really excited about this week. But my excitement's not going to get it, and neither is yours. This is something that we need to take very seriously. Not that we're not to have fun, but this is a serious work and an opportunity for us to grow. So let's look at how these things are different now, but also still similar to the way that things are. And we're going to show you some verses, turn to Hebrews 10, that kind of signify the same things that were being talked about in the Old Testament, that are representational of the priesthood, which we are now. Obviously, we are the royal priesthood that God has ordained to do his work in the New Testament church. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies, or into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So now we see, you know, that form of the priesthood has gone away. We have a new priesthood. And he says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And so many people will just take and look at this and use this right here, as far as we've read, for reason to just say everything's cool, man. We're free in Christ. You know, just whatever goes, everything's fine. And this is not the new and living way that he's talking about. He says, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. Now, this is very important, because what we're talking about here in Hebrews 10, if you were to drop down to verses 24 and 25, you see what he's talking about here is coming to church. What we're talking about is how to operate in the church here in the New Testament. And he says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a heart, with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And certainly, Brother Buddy, if you were here this morning in Sunday school, talked about the heart, and we talked about how it was desperately wicked and how we always need to think on good things. But if you notice here, he says, having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, this is exactly what he was talking about in the Old Testament whenever the Levites were washed with water. He's saying, look, before we go to church, before we start doing the work of God in church, before we're able to be used by God, there's got to be a cleansing process. When we're here doing the work of God, we can't just come in here with all of the world on us, just be half of a worldly person, half of a, you know, a Christian, half of a church person. But we have to have a cleansing process before we can be used. And certainly this week, since it's a 5-day deal and it's such a big deal, certainly we need to think about cleansing ourselves today more than we have lately. Amen? We need to think about cleansing ourselves. This isn't for us. This isn't just for our own benefit, although each and every one of us will certainly benefit from this. But this is for Christ's sake that we do these things. So let's look forward at how we're going to do this. Turn to Romans 13, starting in verse 11. And so what we're going to talk about for the rest of the day is, how are we going to get prepared for this? What is it that God would have us to do? What is the scriptural way for us New Testament priests to be prepared for the work of God, to be able to be used? Well, one thing that comes to mind is obviously that, you know, we want to have good ground. Our hearts need to be tilled or plowed, or whatever term you want to use, so that we would have good ground for when Brother Darren gets here to preach to us the truth, and that we could sit and listen and be transformed by the word of God. So we need to get our hearts right and be on good ground. And he says in verse 11, and knowing this, that now, and these are some strong verses. If anybody's not awake, this should wake you up. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we believed. He says, Jesus is coming back soon. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. And chambering and wantonness is just, you know, what he's going to talk about a little later on, just fulfilling the lust of the flesh, human desires. He says, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, there's much in these verses, so we're going to stay here for a little while in these verses, and we're just going to try to take them apart and do exactly what he's saying to do here. And I think the first thing that we need to start off with, if you look in verse 13, at the end of it, he says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And certainly we've talked about this very, very much. He says, you know, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, lie not and glory not against the truth, because this wisdom is not from above, but it ascendeth, not from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. I just messed the whole verse up, but you understand what I'm saying. To have envy and strife in your heart is it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. And certainly he says there's confusion in every evil work. And you don't have to turn here. Stay in Romans 13. Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So the reason I think that we need to hit this one first today, and we're talking about getting prepared for revival. The reason I think that we need to hit this one first today is because obviously there isn't a person here right now that if your heart is right with God, you're thinking to yourself, there's nothing that I need to get out of the way. There's nothing that I need to ask God to forgive me for. There's nothing that I need to repent of. Obviously, we all know that there's something in the way that we could have out of the way that we could be better used this week for revival. None of us are perfect. But if we're going to ask God to forgive us, we're going to have to forgive those around us that maybe we're holding a grudge to or we have something against. And I implore you, this is for the work of God today, that you search your heart. Is there anyone that maybe you have something against or someone that you need to forgive? Because in order for us to be the best vessels that we can be, we need to empty ourselves of that today. This is an everyday thing, it seems like, sometimes. And sometimes this gets worse and worse. And I know certainly, even just recently, I've really struggled with this. I can't come up here and stand before you and preach a service if I haven't forgiven the people that have done wrong to me. And certainly there's even people that are in your everyday life that maybe you say they're not your brother or your sister. They're just a person that you meet and they've made you angry. We need to get rid of all of that today before we even go on. Because if we're going to get our hearts right, the first thing we need to do is ask God to forgive us. And we can't ask him to forgive us if we're holding a grudge against anyone. So I plead with you today. It's going to take putting away pride. If there's anyone that we have anything against or anything like that, look, we're just going to go step by step. And I'm telling you, the Bible says if we just do these things, we're going to win this week. I want to win this week. I don't think we've even come close to what God has for us yet. Amen? He's got more for us. And so we have to start here and we have to forgive anyone who's done wrong against us. Let's continue to read and start back in verse 11. And again, look, if you don't want to forgive someone, you know, because you just don't feel like you want to or whatever the case may be, and you can't think of a reason to do it for Christ's sake. Do it for the sake of the work. Do it for the sake of the church. If for no other reason, forgive because it will help the work. It will help what's going to happen. And Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. You know, and he's talking to saved people. It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Now listen, this is the part we want to focus in on. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So this is the next thing that we need to do. There's things in our life, and you know, I know that you hear these sermons all the time, and maybe they become less effectual as you hear them over and over and over again. But again, for Christ's sake today, there are things that he's asking us. He says to cast them off. He would not ask us to cast them off if they weren't on. Amen? I mean, that would be ridiculous for him to say that. And he's talking to people that no doubt were spiritual. He was talking to people that were saved. And he's saying we need to cast off these things. So look, today, whatever it is that's holding us back from being as close to God as we need to be, whatever lust of the flesh it is that we just have had trouble hanging on to, now is a great opportunity to say, look, maybe I just didn't have the reason to before. I didn't think it was important enough. Now it's, you know, you're not going to find a time that's more important than what it is that we're trying to do here in the next week to lead people to Christ. So I plead with you today, whatever it is that's keeping you from being as close to God as you need to be, repent and forsake that sin today, and let's go forward. Ask God to forgive you, and he will do it. Let's look at verse 12 again. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You see, this is all about preparation, everything he's saying. When you put on armor, it's because you're preparing for something. You're preparing for a battle, for a war. And he says, the night is far spent. I mean, he says, look, it's about time we do this. And today, if you're here and there's just something that you're struggling with, you know, that if there's just things that you've maybe heard me stand up here and preach out of the Bible to you over and over again, and you leave and you just continue to commit those sins. Look, he says, the night is far spent. It's gone on too long. You've been saved and you've known the truth for too long. It's time to put these things off. It's gone on for too long. He says, the night is far spent. Let's go ahead and get rid of these things. And let's look again at verse 13. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So again, he's talking about this word provision is to prepare things for. It's to get something prepared. And then what he's saying here is you're only going to prepare two ways for this next week. There isn't three choices for any of this. There's two ways to prepare. You're either going to prepare in goodness, you're ever going to start putting things in line so that you can be where you need to be for this week, or you're going to start putting things in line to where you are going to be a vessel of dishonor. There's only two vessels is what he's saying here. There's only two ways to do this. And he says, don't make preparations for the lust of the flesh. And what is he saying here? He's saying, look, start doing things now to start preparing yourself now so that this week when it comes up, we can be better used. And what kind of things are you talking about, Brother Adam? We're talking about those things that God burdens our hearts about to put away that we just won't do. Can I just tell you what would be a really good way to prepare your heart for this week to be used by the Lord? You've never heard me say this probably before. It'd be a good time to start reading the Bible and turn the TV off. For a week. It'd be a great time. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you think you can sit there and watch filth all day and come to church with the right kind of heart to be used by God, you are dead wrong. There's just no way. Amen? I mean, there's no way to fill yourself up with trash throughout the day and then come in and just magically be transformed. You have to prepare yourself for that. It has to be something that you practice doing. It has to be something that you set up. You have to set yourself up for success, and you're only going to set yourself up for either success or failure, is what he's saying here. He says the flesh lusts against the spirit, so you cannot do the things that you would. I mean, it's clear what he's saying here. We have to get rid of these things to better be used. And you say, well, look, I still don't want to. Well, then don't do it for you. Have the mind of Jesus Christ where you do things for other people. Have the mind of Jesus Christ where you care more about for the sake of the church than you do for yourself. Have the mind of Jesus Christ where you care more for lost people because you know that your sins or the things that are holding you back from God can be a hindrance to you. You know that you won't be able to be such of a spiritual person as you need to be. Maybe someone this week could even come up and you would be the person that they would pull aside to ask about salvation. And you want to have a clear mind. You want to be a good vessel that God can just fill up with the words to speak to lead them to Christ this week. Amen. That is something that each one of us should be desiring. Listen, you should get giddy about the opportunity to that someone might pull you aside after service one night and think that you would be the person that could tell them about Jesus. And we need to be prepared for when that time comes. Amen. That should be our desire for the week. What we should be thinking on this week is, I just want to see somebody saved so bad I can barely stand it. That should be where our heart is. So what I want to do now is let's go back to the Old Testament and let's start looking at some people that no doubt in a sense of the word would be having a revival. Turn to 1 Chronicles 13, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read a story today that maybe many of you have heard and have wondered about, and I hope that we can explain it. And to be honest with you, I've read it many times, and I believe it was just truly the work of God as I studied this, because I had never had what I'm going to try or to attempt to explain to you today explained to me ever in this way. And I feel like God just brought me through the scriptures to be able to see something that I was not able to see before. So here what we have, just to kind of set up the story, is, David becomes king. Israel is about to just basically try to have a revival, just like us. And you can see here in the beginning of the story, they're very excited. Everybody's ready to do it. No doubt all of us are ready to do it. But we're going to learn today there's a way to do it. And it says in verse 1, if you're in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 13, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that they are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves together unto us. So what we see here is in the Old Testament, they're about to congregate. The word congregation of believers, this is where we get our word church from. And he says in verse 3, and let us bring again the ark of God to us, for we inquire not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Sheor to Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Baalah, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it.
And this is where it really start paying attention. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with singing and harps and psalteries and timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. Certainly what you're seeing so far, and we're going to continue to read, so don't lose your place. Certainly what you're seeing so far is these people are like, all right, look, let's get together and praise God. And certainly they're excited. Certainly they have zeal. Certainly they're rejoicing and dancing and singing songs. And it says in verse 9, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidom, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the ox stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore the place is called Peri-Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought the ark home to himself to the city of David. Brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-dom the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-dom in the day 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-dom and all that he had. So let me ask you this first, and if you're anything like me, and I'm not going to pretend that, you know, I'm a masterful Bible scholar and I've heard this story many times, but I never really just understood why it is that Uzzah died. And maybe some of you still ask that question today, or maybe I'm the only one, but you know, here he is. They're filled with zeal. Everything, you know, they just want to have revival. They just want to praise God. And here this man, look, the ark's about to fall. I mean, all he didn't want was for the ark to fall and hit the ground, right? I mean, can you blame him? You know, if you saw the ark falling, you know, this is where, you know, what God has ordained. And you say to yourself, look, it's about to fall to the ground. He goes and he reaches down and he dies. And I always just, you know, chalked it up to God gets to do whatever he wants, right? And that's true, amen? I mean, God can just do whatever he wants, and that's what I've always chalked it up to. And to be honest with you, that's kind of how it was always explained to me. But as I went through this, you know, I thought about this in context of revival, and I'm like, what was the problem here? I mean, they had all the zeal, and that's, you know, what I feel like sometimes gets me as far as I can go, you know, is the zeal. And they had all that, and they were excited, and certainly they wanted to do this for God's sake and not for themselves. So what was the problem here? Well, you don't have to turn here. Proverbs 19:2 says, also the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. And he's not saying, you know, that this person who hasteth with his feet, or, you know, basically just a person, when you haste with your feet, he means you're just running to do something. You haven't really thought about it. You just quickly jump into something. You know, before, whenever you read it, this person isn't a wicked person. There's nothing, you know, he's not out to do bad things. But sometimes when we do things hastily, when we do things fast, we don't think about them and we don't prepare for them first. We end up making mistakes and we sin, even unwillingly, but a sin's still a sin, and the wrong still gets committed. So let me ask you, what was the problem here with Uzzah doing this? I mean, look, what went wrong in this story? They seemed like they wanted to do everything to please God. Well, the first place you can look is they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah in Ahio drave the cart. That's in verse 7. These people studied the law. These people knew the Bible. These people, the priests of the Levites were gathered unto them. What was the problem? They knew what they were supposed to do, but yet they were very hasty to do things. And it says they put the ark in a cart. Well, that's not how God ordained for the ark to go forward. That isn't the way that God decided that the ark. And you say, well, look, as long as the ark's getting there, then what's the problem? That's the kind of thinking that turns a real New Testament church into a fun center, willy-nilly church. You know, as long as we're doing it, you know, then what's the problem? Well, that's not how God operates, and we need to be transformed to the mind of Christ. We want to do things in order. We want to have things set up. You don't have to turn here. Exodus 25 says, he gives them exact direction for this. He says, and thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and thou shalt put them in the corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be on the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings for the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. So did God have a way that he wanted the ark carried? Yes, he wanted him to make 2 poles, put the rings on the side of the ark, put the poles, and then have the ark carried on the poles. You say, what's the difference? God said. That's what the difference is. And you know something? If the ark would have never been in the cart, you say, well, he just reached down to grab it. Well, guess what? It never would have fallen if it was the way that God had ordained it to be. So let's continue to read. Look at chapter 15 in 1 Chronicles, starting in verse 11. So they realized what was wrong. David was afraid to have the ark at his house. Then he went back and he saw that the man was blessed and he wanted to have the ark there too. He wanted the ark to be where the people could use it. And it says in verse 11, and David, and I'll probably really mess up these names, but bear with me. And David called for Zadok and Abathar the priest, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asai, and Joel, Shimeah, Eliel, and Abinadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of your fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren. Okay, so look, there's the other thing that they missed. Everybody was so excited to have revival, they never bothered to cleanse themselves the way that God had ordained in Exodus 40, where we first read today. Amen? Everybody was in such a rush to get this done. They just wanted to get through it. And you know, sometimes I think we just want to do it so that we can get through it too. You know, and that is very bad. That is very bad. We should relish every minute of what God has provided for us. So many churches don't even have revival anymore, and that's such a shame. We should relish every moment of this. We shouldn't just try to rush through it. But what you see here is these people had never sanctified themselves. The priest, which are us, amen, we all agree that we're the New Testament priests today. They had not sanctified themselves, as it says here. And he says, sanctify yourself, both ye and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared it. For because ye did not at first, the Lord our God has made a breach upon us that we sought not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, and Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. So they had went forward to do these things, but he said, you didn't seek out the due order. You didn't look at the way that God wanted us to do this. And certainly, again, I want to emphasize this before we go on. You know, I don't want to I'm not here to tell you, you know, this week isn't going to be fun. I believe it's going to be fun. But we have to understand the seriousness of this. And this is something that we should be grave about. The Bible teaches us, especially the elders in the church, to be grave about the matters of the Lord. And certainly we want to seek after the way that he has for us to do them. And you see, these people realize their mistake. Israel realized that they had just rushed into something. They hadn't sought out the Lord, and especially that they hadn't cleansed themselves before they went forward. And the Lord made a breach upon them. And we can learn a very valuable lesson from this. All right, let's turn to 1 Chronicles 16, starting in verse 37. And afterwards, when they did this, P.S., their worship was successful. Everything went really, really good. Actually, during this time, the first Psalm of the Lord was written by David. I mean, it was just an absolutely wonderful revival that they had. Let's look at verse 37 in chapter 16. And this is just a side note, because it's like I don't know if you want to call it a balancing act or whatever you want to call it. But I mean, we want to be serious. We want to seek out the Lord. We want to be grave. But at the same time, we want to be excited. We want to keep up the zeal all throughout the week. He says, so he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren. And Asaph was like a recorder. He recorded everything that was going on to minister before the ark continually. Is every day's work required? If the Lord allows for us to continue on, and we're all still here on Friday, if the Lord allows for us to continue on and be here this week, we need to be sure that we keep up the zeal of the week. We need to make sure that we're just as excited. Look, on the nights that we have 10 specials or the nights that we have no specials, we need to make sure that we're just as excited and we're just as zealous to be here and we're just as diligent to study on the night that Brother Darren preaches the thing that maybe is directly to you or maybe the thing that's directly to the lost. And we need to stay continuously ministering. And what that means too is we all need to be here as much as we can be. And I don't want to say that like study, do your best to show yourself approved. I mean that like if we can be here, like if it's physically able for us to be here, each and every one of us need to be here because we're all part of the body. If you can be here 5 days a week and there's nothing that hinders you from being here, you need to strive to be here. We need to be excited to be here. It's something that we should desire to do. And lastly, let's look at Ephesians 6, verse 18. So what have we covered this far? Let's kind of just go through it so that we can be on the same page before we close. What have we gone through this far?
First thing we need to do is clean up our vessel so that we're able to be better used by God. We need to clean up our hearts so that we're able to even be able to better grow. Because it's not just about what we're going to do while we're here, but it's about how we're going to learn and how much we're going to absorb. So we need to get our vessel clean. We need to have our heart prepared to hear the message that Brother Darren would have to deliver to us. The second thing is we need to forgive any of those who we would have any kind of problems against or hold any grudge to, because if we don't do that, we can't ask God to cleanse our vessel until we have forgiven other people. We can't ask God to forgive us for the ways that we've trespassed against Him unless we have forgiven other people. The third thing is that we need to strive to ask God to forgive us for our sins, repent of them, but we need to strive to keep ourselves in that goodness, to keep ourselves sanctified. We need to do things throughout the week in our daily life, which isn't at church, to prepare ourselves or to keep ourselves on the right track, meaning things like turn the television off, start doing things, do what Brother Buddy said this morning in Sunday school, think on good things, meditate upon good things. The best way to stay plugged in is to read our Bibles daily before we come to church. And then the last thing that we need to do, if you look at Ephesians 6:18, is this. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Again, this is a team effort. It's not just about what Brother Darren is here to do. It's not just about what each one of us individually is here to do, but us as a body. And certainly, if we know all these things today, if we're clear about, look, do you believe, I really want to ask you this morning, do you believe that if we were to do those things, that God will do His part? I mean, if we were to do all those things and just go forward and do it, that God's going to do His part. I truly believe that. But you know something? Satan knows that we know it too. And he knows if we're leaving here right now, and I hope you are planning on leaving today with just every intent of doing these things and getting these things done so that we can be better used this week. Certainly if Satan knows that, he's going to be on each and every one of us as we go out throughout the week. He might offer up you opportunities to you this week to do sinful things that he has never offered you in the past, just because you know these things. And it's dangerous with him. We need to be praying for one another. We need to pray for each. Look, we can do a lot better job if I'm praying for Brother Aaron and he's praying for me than if I'm just praying for myself. And we need to go forward praying for each other so that we can be better used and that we'll be in the will of God. Let's look at verse 19. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador of bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I don't know Brother Darren that good. He seems like a really, really nice guy. I've enjoyed the messages that I've found on the internet of his. I never actually got to sit under him and listen to him preach, but the things that I heard were just really, really good. I really enjoyed it. And I understand, you know, he's been doing this for a long time, but one thing I understand after talking to a lot of preachers is that every one of them are men, and every single one of them, you know, fall and have insecurities. And you know, you come to a new place and you preach in front of people that you don't know. And, even with the Spirit of the Lord guiding you through the scripture, there's still things that go on in you. And, you know, you can be afraid, or you can be not as bold as you need to be. And we need to pray for him that he can be bold and that he can be used by the Lord. But not only that, we need to make him be able to feel comfortable so that he can be used by the Lord. We need to do things like, look, let me tell you another thing. We need to support the man. If he comes here, we need to support him. And I'm talking about monetarily. We need to, support the ministry, not to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. We need to support this man. We need to show him that we appreciate what he's doing. Other churches are going to come see us, the way that we operate, the way that we distribute to the saints, and it should provoke them to do the same thing. We have an opportunity for people of other churches to come and see the way that we operate this week and say, these people operate with the Spirit of God. They do it right. They're producing fruit. And we have an opportunity to influence them so that they can go out and do the same thing, and we can grow the work of God that way. We need to do these things. We need to support him. We need to make him feel comfortable. We need to encourage him. You know, one of the things that's is because I feel like that all the time still now here with y'all. Y'all are my friends, and I still stand up here and have doubts and fears and things like that. And, you know, when I hear a man stop and preach and say, you know, Lord, just let him be able to know that, you know, that he has the freedom to preach what it is that you put on his heart. That's what Brother Darren needs to know this week. We need to let him know that he has the freedom to preach the Word of God with boldness, that he doesn't need to come up here and hold back anything from the Word of God to us, but to preach with boldness. And we need to support him and encourage him while he's here. I believe with all my heart, church,
the thing, look, and I know there's so much more we could cover and we could talk about, but I believe as far as the bare bones of it and the base of everything, I believe with all my heart, if we do all those things, that it is a recipe for success, and for sure we will win. For sure. I don't believe there's any doubt about it. But we need to believe that that's true, and we need to go forward and really leave here and do these things. You say, well, this doesn't apply to me. I'm just a small member of the church. You know, I just come here and sit. That's not true. It applies to each and every one of us. We are one body, and I encourage you to go forward and do these things. If you're here and you're lost, just speaking on the note of being prepared. I ask you today, are you prepared for if you were to die today? If you're not prepared for that, then that's the best thing you can be prepared for today, is be prepared to meet your God. If you're here and you're lost, I just pray with you. I pray to you that you would trust Jesus today, that you would let him save you if he's been calling you and you've just been turning him down. I pray that today would be the day that you would just let him save you. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And if I can help you with that in any way, please let me know. We'll have a verse of a song.